Do you want victory? You can have it in Christ Jesus.
Time once again for Abiding in Christ with Jim Wood.
You have to step back, evaluate the various positions in light of Scripture, and then re-engage with a godly perspective.
Pastor Wood is the founder of Ware's Valley Ranch, a Christian home and school for kids from crisis situations.
Jesus said, "As the Father has loved me, so I have loved you. Abide in my love."
You can contact the program by calling 866-41-ABIDE or by visiting us on the web at pastorwood.org. And now, here's your host, Jim Wood.
If you would please open your Bibles to Mark chapter 10. Mark chapter 10, we're beginning in verse 13 and reading just through verse 16. Mark 10, 13 through 16, this is God's word. People were bringing little children to Jesus to have him touch them, but the disciples rebuked them. When Jesus saw this, he was indignant. He said to them, "Let the little children come to me, and do not hinder them, for the kingdom of God belongs to such as these. I tell you the truth, anyone who will not receive the kingdom of God like a little child will never enter it." And he took the children in his arms, put his hands on them, and blessed them. May God add his blessing to this reading from his holy and inspired word. What was going on here? And why in the world would the disciples try and stop these people from bringing their children to Jesus? Well, they weren't bringing them because they needed healing. They just wanted Jesus to touch them. Matthew says they wanted him to bless them and pray for them. But I think sometimes we have the attitude that if you don't have an immediate pressing problem, you probably shouldn't bother God. And these children are not in distress. They're just looking to touch Jesus. Now, there were a lot of people looking to touch Jesus. In chapter 5, verse 27, you'll remember the story, I trust, of the woman who had the issue of blood, and she thought, "If I could just touch even the hem of his garment, then I'd be healed." In Luke 6, 19, we read that people were trying to touch Jesus because power went out from him and healed them. And so there was an awareness that if you could touch him or he would touch you, there was blessing that came through that. Apparently, physical contact actually has significance. And part of the problem in our culture is that we do not know how to touch people appropriately. I remember going on a ski retreat with my wife before we were married. She was part of a youth ministry in Louisiana Tech University where she was a student, and they were planning a trip to Estes Park, Colorado to ski. I wasn't the least bit interested in skiing. I'd done a little bit of it, but what I wanted was to spend time with her. And so I said, "Yes, I'll go on that." But the guy who led the ministry was this fellow, Denny Duron, who was a national award-winning quarterback from Louisiana Tech. And Denny would walk through a group kind of touching people as he went along. And everyone appreciated it. I mean, he wasn't being, you know, it wasn't like this. It was just a friendly kind of thing. And I found myself, when I got back to my uptight New England college after the retreat, walking out of class and smiling at people and touching them as I went along, and I thought all of a sudden, what am I doing? That is not appropriate in New England. I really, by nature, fit well in New England, where the weather and the people are cold. But it's not healthy. It's not healthy. You go all the way back, just trace it through the scriptures, and that's not going to be the message this morning. We're not going to have time to really focus on it in depth. But look at how when the blessing was transferred from generation to generation, hands were laid on. Okay? I was just reading recently of Joseph bringing his sons to his father, who was going to bless them. And he brought them and he put the older son on the side where he would get his father's right hand, and the younger son where he would get the father's left hand. And his dad actually crossed his arms and switched which one got the right hand blessing. And Joseph took his hand and tried to put it back and said, no, this one's the older. He said, I know. Because, of course, Jacob was the younger son who got the blessing. Well, why would you do that? I mean, what difference does it make? Apparently, it makes a difference. Really? Yeah. Well, I don't understand that. Well, I don't fully understand it either, but what I will tell you is this. The way we touch is significant whether we recognize it or not. And all of us, you can read the studies about the difference it makes in the care of the ill, how they're touched, and the importance of human touch in helping people recover from physical and mental distress. Touch matters. And these primitive people knew that long before modern science did studies and found that it was so. So, just the idea of touch is significant. But let me tell you, the touch of God, and that's what we're dealing with here. Jesus wasn't just a nice man. He wasn't just a great teacher. God had come to earth in human form. And so these people, not fully understanding all this, but nevertheless doing the right thing, brought their little children to Jesus to have him touch them and bless them. And the disciples got in the way. The disciples began rebuking those parents, telling them to stop, trying to prevent their children from getting to Jesus in this way. The disciples rebuked them, and Jesus said, hey guys, it's okay. I appreciate you trying to protect me, but you know, I do have a lot of demands on me and I do get tired, but you know, it's all right. Let's don't send them away. Is that what happened? Not at all. Jesus was indignant. He was angry. And he said to them, let the little children come to me and do not hinder them. For the kingdom of God belongs to such as these. Did you know it is possible to make it more difficult for children to come to Jesus? I've seen a lot of people who found it harder to come to Jesus because of the adults who'd been in their lives when they were growing up. And sometimes it was because the adults were blasphemers who, you know, said all kinds of disparaging things about anybody who was religious. Sometimes it's because they grew up in an atmosphere of substance abuse and all kinds of other things like that. But tragically, it was often the case because they grew up in a home where the truth was spoken and not lived. And what they saw, even in the lives of ministers of the gospel, was somebody who helped them be deceived by the enemy into thinking that it's just a lie. They found it harder to come to Jesus because the people who told them about Jesus didn't show them Jesus. Jesus says, do not hinder them.
Hi, this is Jim Wood. I'm very grateful for the privilege of teaching God's Word now for over 40 years. I've seen firsthand the power of the gospel changing lives for eternity. My wife and I have been blessed with 7 children, 4 of them adopted. Each one is unique, but all of them are ours. In our travels to other countries, we've seen again and again that the human heart is the same everywhere. And everywhere we go, Jesus is the only one who can save. I hope that these broadcasts are an encouragement to you, and I want to ask you to take a few moments to encourage us. I want to ask you to do 3 things, in fact. First, please visit our website, pastorwood.org, and learn more about our work. Second, please pray for us that we will remain faithful and that God will continue to use us to spread His Word around the world. And finally, if the Lord prompts you to do so, please support us financially. We are depending on our listeners to stand with us, and we're praying for God to bless you.
To step out of my comfort zone into the realm of the unknown where Jesus is.
Jesus' attitude toward children shows up in chapter 9. It's the previous chapter to the one we're in. Verse 36. He took a little child and had him stand among them, and taking him in his arms, he said to them, "Whoever welcomes one of these little children in my name welcomes me. And whoever welcomes me does not just welcome me, but the one who sent me." Apparently, Jesus thought little kids were significant. In Matthew 18:10, Jesus says, "See to it you don't look down on one of these little ones. I tell you the truth, their angels in heaven behold my Father's face every day." If you get FaceTime with somebody and they're a person of power, that's elevating you. Jesus said, their angels, he didn't say all angels, he said their angels see my Father's face every day. They have an angel assigned to them. Their angels see my Father's face every day. If God takes children that seriously, maybe we should too. What do you think? But in our day, we live in a culture that is still divided over the issue of abortion. Is it okay to slaughter children in their mother's womb? Many, many people think so. And in fact, that was a major factor in the last midterm election. Because there were a whole lot of people across America, particularly young people, who wanted to be sure. They wanted to be sure that no matter how much gas costs at the pump, and no matter what's happening with inflation, no matter how much the groceries are, no matter what else is going on and how many people are pouring across the southern border, doesn't matter. We just want to be sure that our government is not going to let the Supreme Court take away our right to kill our children. God have mercy on us. But that's not the only way we're destroying children, medically. We now have in major medical facilities all across this country what is called gender-affirming care, which is the mutilation, chemically and surgically, of the bodies of young people so that they can persist in their delusions about sex. That's not gender affirming. That is medical malpractice. And I pray that God will awaken our culture and cause people to sue every one of those doctors who participated in it. The data is absolutely clear. DNA lets us know whether you're male or female, not whatever you happen to think this year. And furthermore, the first medical facility in this country, major medical facility, to do that sex change surgery was a famous, reputable school named Johns Hopkins. And after doing it for a number of years and following up with their patients, they stopped doing it because what they found was this doesn't make our patients better. They have a higher suicide rate and more medical complications after we tried to help them than they did before. So Johns Hopkins said, we're not doing that anymore. That's bad medicine. Well, I'm sorry they ever did do it. But the fact that they did and then learned from it and stopped should tell Vanderbilt and everybody else, that's not okay. Don't do that. You don't have to be a Christian. You don't even have to believe in God to know that if a person is 6 feet, 5 inches tall and has male genitalia and skin like mine, they should not be able to try and pass themselves off as a black ballerina who wears petite clothing. I'm telling you, our world is insane because thinking themselves wise, they became fools. So, that's the problem out there. Terrible attitude when it comes to children. Not valuing children in a godly way. But actually, the problem's closer to home. We need to consider how do we potentially hinder children from coming to Jesus? How do we potentially bring people to Jesus? Children and adults. What is involved? My wife gave a wonderful outline years ago that we use with our staff, and it's been used with other folks as well. Children need certain things. Attention, affection, affirmation. They need to be under authority in the context of acceptance and accountability. They need to experience achievement, which requires appropriate assignments and cultivating healthy aspirations. Isn't that a nice outline? But let me tell you something. All of us, if we go down that list, we'll find that we're better at giving certain A's to children than we are other A's. Some people are great, I mean just great, at affection and affirmation. Oh, honey, you're so adorable. Oh, come here. Well, good. As long as they're not lousy when it comes to accountability. Oh, I know they shouldn't do that, but I just don't want to tell them not to. Well, the Bible says that the person who fails to discipline his child hates his child. Well, I know somebody who's really, really strong in the area of holding their child accountable. Man, I mean, their child is under a microscope every day, and if there's any deviation from what it's supposed to be, they get called on it. Well, accountability is great, but it needs to be in an atmosphere of acceptance where that child knows that even if you don't accept that behavior, you definitely accept that child. And you love that child. You affirm that child. There's affection for that child. Well, I'm just not very comfortable doing that. I'm better at being the policeman. Well, then you're not going to be a good parent. Really? Yeah. Children need all these things, not just some of them. And all of us are better at some than we are at others, but we need to work on the whole list. And we need to go to God and say, Lord, please help me because I can't really do this parenting thing the way it's supposed to be done apart from you. Now, what's this business about receiving the kingdom like a little child? Jesus told his disciples, unless you receive the kingdom of God like a little child, you'll never enter it. How do you receive the kingdom of God like a little child? What does that look like? Well, in Matthew 18, Jesus talks about humbling yourself like a little child. If you're trying to impress God with, okay, God, this week I did this, 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 and this. Ha! How about that? And it's been weeks since I did that. God's not going to say, oh, that's wonderful. I've been looking and looking for somebody as good as you. Jesus came into the world to save sinners. And the folks who get saved are the ones who realize they need saving. So humility, dependence. Children don't mind being dependent. If your children ever start to think that they don't need you, you don't have to give them a list of everything you do for them, but you might remind them of a few things, like providing them with a place to live. You know, that's helpful. We've done that on occasion, saying to a child, so are you going to go live on your own? What they want is to run their own life on your dime. That doesn't work. You and I want to run our own lives on God's dime. We're perfectly happy to live on His earth, breathe the air He provides, drink the water that He provides, eat the food that He provides, use the energy that He provides. He made us, don't forget. But we'll do it our way, okay? I don't need you telling me what to do. I think the Bible deals with that pretty clearly. Well, a little child tends to know that they need you, at least until they're two. Simplicity. Little children don't need for it to be complicated. And God doesn't need for us to make it complicated either. I am grieved by pastors who basically give the impression that you're not really saved until you understand Reformed theology. Or Arminian theology, for that matter. You know what is needed in order to recognize that a person has been born of the Spirit? They need to be trusting in Jesus. Because you can be a PhD in systematic theology, and if you're trusting in your system of knowledge instead of in Jesus, you don't know the first thing. Simplicity is modeled by little children. They make it simple. They see things in terms of black and white. It's just, you know, either it's okay or it's not okay. They're not into nuance. And if you and I want to get into the kingdom of God, we've got to recognize He's God, we're not. We've sinned. He's the only one who can save us. And God's the one who brings that, and with it, He brings trust. Little children trust the one they're depending on. John 3, Jesus says, you really have to be born again. God doesn't need you to grow up so that you can be saved. When you're saved, now it's time to start growing up. But to enter the kingdom, you've got to come to the point of utter dependence on Him, complete trust in Him. You are my only hope, Lord. The only thing you and I bring to the equation is our need. We don't come and say, God, I've got these talents, and I was thinking, if you would save me, I could put these to work for you. God knows all about the talents He gave you. What He wants is for us to say, God, be merciful to me. Have mercy. And oh, He will.
You've been listening to Abiding in Christ. If you have questions that you'd like for us to tackle on the program or comments you want to make, I want to invite all of you to contact us at 866-41-ABIDE. That's our toll-free number, 866-41-ABIDE, or contact us on the web at pastorwood.org. That's pastorwood.org.